Alankrita Srivastav is a young woman filmmaker from India who chose Bhopal as the setting for her Hindi language film called Lipstick Under My Burqa.
Mera gana 7 things se inspired hai. Lo aage. Bhopal ki Britney number 3.
The title, she says, is a metaphor for women's hidden desires, hidden dreams. I met Alankrita after her film opened the 5th South Asian Film Festival in Paris in October 2017. It had previously been shown in France at the Créteil Women's Film Festival. Alankrita struggled for more than 6 months before getting approval for the release of her film in India after a screening at the Bombay Festival in November 2016.
I don't think it had so much to do with sex. The reason that was cited was that the film was lady-oriented, and what I sort of gathered is, and what the only thing that I could figure out was that the censor board had a problem with the film because it was a film that was made from the female point of view, and it was about women telling their own story. So it was not about sex per se, because there's a lot of sexual content in Indian cinema, but it was because it was about women relating personally their own experiences of their sexual lives, which may not be very convenient to like a patriarchal order. So I think it was banned because the censor board considered it a threat to patriarchy, and I feel like they were very invested in perpetuating this male dominated kind of popular culture.
Leli 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 jaan 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 bina pooch hai hai.
Related issues were raised by one or two people in a question and answer session after the film. One person asked why there were no positive male roles in the film, for example. However, none of the characters are black and white in Lipstick Under My Burqa, and that's just what sets it apart. The four women characters are a female college student whose traditional Muslim father has nonetheless saved to enable her to go to a college where she mixes freely with young men, a sex-hungry beautician who works to earn her income and whose mother has her own reasons for wanting to arrange a marriage with a romantic man who naively believes his wife would be happier at home. A married woman subjected to marital rape and whose husband cheats her, but whom she cheats by hiding her fabulous career as a sales rep. And a yearning older auntie who takes care of those who eventually reject her because she outsmarts a young stud.
I'm of the belief that if one makes a film honestly, one's politics comes through in one's work. I felt for me it was just a story that I wanted to tell about these four women. But I guess the fact that, because I guess of who I am and how I see the world, I guess that has sort of come through in the film. Also, the film is a very intimate and personal film, and I do feel the personal actually is political, particularly when it comes to the lives of women. So I wouldn't say it's an obviously political film, but in retrospect, I think it really has become a political film.
The ban itself was perhaps an indication that it does have political overtones or social overtones that are seen negatively still today in India. How did you overcome the ban, in fact?
Luckily, India is still a functioning democracy, and it has certain systems in place where you can sort of challenge these kind of decisions. So we went to something called the FCAT, which is a film certification appellate tribunal, which is basically a quasi-judicial body that you can go to in case consistently the censor board in India, you're unhappy with their decision. And it's like you go there with lawyers, you have a hearing. So we went through that process. It took some time, almost 2 months for us to... I mean, the entire process took me 6 months, but yeah, at the FCAT, it also took about a couple of months, and we were able to get a decision in our favour.
We have seen another film in the last 12 months, in fact, that has released in Europe. There was also a film from a female point of view, Parched. Is this a trend in India today? Is there more freedom, in fact, for women filmmakers to talk about women and possibly even ultimately men filmmakers to start making films from the female point of view?
I think if we do the math and we see the number of films that are made every year from a country like India, and then we see the number of films made about women from a female point of view, I think it's next to nothing. Because when you see there are thousands and thousands of films and you have like two or four films made about women from a female point of view, it's really like not even, a speck on the wall kind of a thing. So I feel like we need to, for any real equality, we need to move towards a situation where 50% of the films that come out every Friday should be films about women and by women. And I feel until we reach that, we don't even know how culture will change when there are many more stories being told about women and by women and from a female point of view. So I think till then, it's like, we're just making, like, patting ourselves on the back with, like, one or two films. But I think we have a very, very long way to go.
Thank you very much for speaking to us today. We wish you all the very best with this film and with the next one.
Thank you so much. I had a lovely time chatting with you too. Thank you.
The South Asian Film Festival in Paris, or FFAST as it's known for short, has been going for 5 years. The independent films it shows from Afghanistan, Bangladesh, India, Nepal, Pakistan and Sri Lanka tend in general to push the boundaries of accepted norms one way or another. Florian Zaslavsky is one of the programmers for the South Asian Film Festival in Paris. As the FFAST Festival's Focus on Tamil Films from Southeast India and Sri Lanka show, independent cinema from the region is inescapably political or militant.
Every year there's a selection that elects a special theme, which this year is about food. However, I would say that in our official competition, there is, there is a theme that comes out, and we didn't really know about it before when the selection process started, which is mainly the condition of women. We have several movies that deal with that issue and that were confronted with censorship in their countries. I mainly think about Lipstick Under My Burqa, but also the movie Haramkor, also Sexy Durga. And yeah, even Doob in a way, which will be screened for the closing, deals with this condition of women, and most especially the relationship between men and women in South Asian countries.
The festival has been going for 5 years. It was actually called the Transgressive South Asian Film Festival. That transgressive, yes, has been dropped out of the title.
We decided to drop it for several reasons. One of them being that we weren't too much in favor of this transgressive label that in a way could sound like a sort of marketing thing. You know, we're still a small festival. It was probably more humble and more honest to promote, first of all, good independent movies. And I think here lies the real transgression. Probably today it's really in defending good indie movies in a mostly market-driven industry. Then, if the movies say something about society, about the norms, even aesthetically speaking, you know, if it says something, if it promotes a vision, then that's absolutely fantastic. And that's what we're mentioning just before. I mean, this year we have 4 movies in the official competition, in the official selection, that were confronted with censorship in their countries. So even without looking for transgressive movies, we end up, you know, selecting movies that say something about their society.
Push the boundaries.
Yes, exactly.
You have a focus on Tamil films from the south of India and from Sri Lanka.
And Sri Lanka as well, yeah.
Can you tell us about that specific focus and specifically about the films from Sri Lanka?
It seemed important for us to change a bit the focus, because until last year it was really, we were working on countries, so on Nepal, on Bangladesh, and this year we thought it was interesting to work a bit more on cultural areas. It was important for us to have several movies from Sri Lanka, and both these movies are exploring the civil war and the aftermath of the civil war in Sri Lanka. We had Burning Birds. It's really aesthetical. Every image is really worked as a painting almost. And it's really a trip in the psyche of a woman who lost everything during the war and who tries to survive, but yet again in a very subtle way. Then we also have an official competition, a beautiful documentary, which is called Demons in Paradise by Jude Ratnam. It was showed outside of the competition this year, but it was in Cannes. And it's, to me, one of the most interesting documentary about the reconstruction after a civil war. Jude Ratnam himself, the director, took part in this conflict, and he comes back in his village and he talks with his former enemies, even within, you know, the Tamil community. And that's really a very deep and fascinating reflection about the discourse as well. How do we talk about it? How, through the discourse, we can try to rebuild something that has been broken, to move on and accept the defeat.
This up-and-coming film festival in Paris reflects a rejuvenated interest in Asia in general and in the subcontinent, in particular in France, and provides people here with fresh insight into the changing and many-layered politics and culture of the region. My thanks to Alankrita Srivastav and Florian Zaslavsky, and to you all for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, and until next time, goodbye.